Pilgrim's Official Podcast. I'm Dan Kelch, your editor and lead writer for the site, and I'm here today with Corey Anderson from the forums. Say hi, Corey.
Hello, everybody.
What do you want to talk about today, Corey?
Well, I was actually considering talking to you about movies, you know, the hype behind them, basically. Mm-hmm. Getting people more interested in our site by, like, not just focusing on virals, but focusing on, like, the movies in general behind the virals, you know what I mean?
Right, and some past movies that maybe have had virals and some big movies overall.
Yeah, basically. In a few weeks, we have one of the biggest movies possibly of this year and, you know, a few years to come, Watchmen should be coming out.
Right.
And that's actually that actually has a really interesting viral behind it. Not too many sites, more or less, but it has videos, mm-hmm. really interesting marketing, and really really interesting overall approach to how they're selling Watchmen.
Right.
And I like it.
I'm one of those few people who are not a big fan of the comic, but the movie actually intrigues me, and I think the viral for it is one of the things that have really kind of brought me into it. You know, a lot of it's from that one site, the New Frontiersman .net, and then their YouTube. So a lot of the stuff on there is actually pretty interesting, and I mean, that's one of my favorite parts of the graphic novel was that, you know, the backstory and all that other stuff, and that's something where they seem to be kind of they're willing to go there a little bit in this spiral. So that's really intriguing me.
Yeah, I was actually watching something on slashfilm.com mm-hmm. the other day, and they're actually saying it's almost too faithful to the comic, you know?
Yeah, I know.
The UK, I think it was at the UK premiere, and they were already, there's already a reporter on there just bashing the comic, like, not so much the comic as the film. He was stating the use of Zack Snyder's use of slow motion in the movie is basically almost perverse and fetish. But I mean, I kind of agree with him on that. So much as the fact that when I watch Watchmen, I don't want to you know, be reminded of King Leonidas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wasn't a big 300 fan. Again, one of the few people in the minority there. It was all right, but the slow motion was one of the things that just killed it for me. And you know, Zack Snyder is a good director. He did Dawn of the Dead, which is one of my favorite movies, probably, and definitely one of the best zombie films ever. But then, you know, that slow motion that he's starting to become known for is, I'm just not a big fan of it. So, yeah, I think that's one of the things that worries me about the film, and the fact that, like you said, it's really very faithful to the novel, which scares me. I was hoping that they would, you know, part from it a little bit. Although I heard the ending might be different.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I never really read 300, but, I mean, I'm a fan of the movie. I like it just because of the action. I mean, mm-hmm. Watchmen, it's going to have action, but you have to also, if you're a fan of the novel, you also know there's very, very, very long distinctive parts in between the action.
Right.
Like, basically, the entire first few chapters of the movie, movie and book are probably just going to be talking, and that's what's going to drive general audience away.
Yeah, that's going to be
fans not of the novel.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to see how they play that. They have to really kind of balance that well. One of the things that intrigued me about the movie is the fact that
Porter on there just bashing the comic, like, not so much the comic as the film. He was stating the use of Zack Snyder's use of slow motion in the movie is basically almost perverse and fetish. But I mean, I kind of agree with him on that. So much as the fact that when I watch Watchmen, I don't want to, you know, be reminded of King Leonidas. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wasn't a big 300 fan. Again, one of the few people in the minority there. It was all right, but the slow motion was one of the things that just killed it for me. And you know, Zack Snyder is a good director. He did Dawn of the Dead, which is one of my favorite movies, probably, and definitely one of the best zombie films ever. But then, you know, that slow motion that he's starting to become known for is, I'm just not a big fan of it. So yeah, I think that's one of the things that worries me about the film, and the fact that, like you said, it's really very faithful to the novel, which scares me. I was hoping that they would, you know, part from it a little bit. Although I heard the ending might be different.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I never really read 300, but I mean, I'm a fan of the movie. I like it just because of the action. I mean, mm-hmm. Watchmen, it's going to have action, but you have to also, if you're a fan of the novel, you also know there's very, very, very long distinctive parts in between the action. Right. Like, basically, the entire first few chapters of the movie, movie and book are probably just going to be talking, and that's what's going to drive general audience away.
Yeah, that's going to be...
Stands not of the novel.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to see how they play that. They have to really kind of balance that well. One of the things that intrigued me about the movie is the fact that they're releasing it in March. I wasn't a big fan of that because, you know, this is a comic book movie and everything. You really want it to be, you know, I would imagine you want it to be like a summer tentpole film. But so I found it really weird that they decided to release it in March.
Yeah, that's another thing that kind of, you know, messed with me too is I kind of see where they're coming from with this. But then again, it's also like, I mean, this is a summer movie. You know what I mean? Right. Like. I mean, it's made for the summer, but they're releasing it too early. But then again, I mean, it's going to be going against movies like Transformers and Terminator Salvation.
Right.
So I mean, a month for it just to dominate at the box office will be it's completely fine. But
no, that makes sense. I mean, yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, with March is usually a pretty weak month. So I mean, maybe that's the only reason I can think of them doing that is they're trying to capitalize on a weak month when this is supposed to be one of the bigger summers ever because you got You got your Terminator Salvation, you got your Star Trek, you got your you know, all these big movies that are coming out the summer. It's supposed to be pretty big, so I can imagine that in order to not be kind of swept up in that, they try to take advantage of a weak March lineup. So
I think Transformers is coming out, like, I think the same month they did. I know it came out in June, I just don't remember exactly the day, because I remember Transformers 2007, it came out... And it did amazing. I mean, it came out perfectly. It also introduced us to the Cloverfield movie perfectly,
right.
You know. And then I think Transformers was the first summer movie of the new millennium, in my opinion, to get everything rolling onto a bigger level of bigger movies in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it definitely kind of changed a lot of stuff. That's one of the films where for Transformers for me it's basically like eye candy. I just it's a beautiful movie, but there's a lot of problems with it. It's kind of a big beautiful mess.
Yeah.
But I can't stand John Turturro in that film.
Why not? He's
so over the top.
Mm-hmm.
He's so over the top. It's annoying.
He's not over the top.
He is too. Criminals are hot. It's so silly.
Yeah. He's also singing it to Megan Fox. You know. The modern day Meryl Streep of movies.
Yeah, I mean, no. She is hot, but it's still a stupid line.
Yeah, she's hot, and that's the only thing she has going for her, really. I mean, I was watching Transformers today on DVD, and like, she kind of put me to sleep. I mean, she's not that good of an actress. The only really technically the only person saving that entire movie is the voice of Optimus Prime. That's on my personal opinion. That and just the crazy awesome action.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a visually it was just stunning. And then you know, anytime Optimus Prime's on the screen, you're just like you feel that authority that he has. It's pretty great.
Yeah, and another big movie coming out this year. Is Terminator Salvation, and that's actually looks pretty good. I mean, I'm a fan of the series. I'm a fan. I watched Terminator 2 before I watched Terminator 1 because when I was little when it came out, and I was like,
oh, yeah.
I was like, that looks stupid. And then I watched it again, and I was like, this is awesome. And then I mean, Terminator 3, I had to isolate myself from people for a while because I put so much faith behind that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone knows how that goes.
Yeah, Terminator 2, I think, is one of the few examples of the second film outdoing the first one. You know, if you were to first see Terminator the original, you're like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then, but then you see the second one, and it just blows it out of the water. It just took it to a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And Terminator 2 is one of the better films, at least in the last 20 years, if not ever.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, so when Terminator 3 comes out, you know, and it's pretty disappointing. You know, it's nice to see that they're trying to take it in a different direction. Maybe you know, McGee is kind of an interesting choice for a director, but you know, Christian Bale is definitely a solid choice for actor. And so it definitely brings a little bit of a levity to the film and to the series by having such a good actor like that, even if he does yell at people.
Oh man. That's good. I mean, yeah, Christian Bale is actually, when I rewatched Terminator 3, I was like, Yeah, I don't. I really didn't. I didn't mind the choice of actor for John Connor in the third one, because I knew the third one was just to catch everyone up. You know what I mean? Like,
it's like a placeholder.
Yeah, basically. And the fourth one, I mean, Bell really didn't even want to do it to begin with. He saw it and he was like, "This is stupid." And then he basically told someone, the person that gave him the script, to fuck off. Wow. And then it came back to him later with it, and now he's on it. And I mean, he didn't have to do it. I mean, just him being in The Dark Knight with the success that was, right. he could have quit, you know, filmmaking altogether.
Yeah, really.
And there it would have been there. He's the Batman, and he's done, like Adam West, basically.
Yeah, not really. Yeah, it's interesting to see his choices. I mean, he's someone who's been a good actor, choosing really seem to be picking his choices of characters very particularly. So for him to kind of go towards the mainstream route is interesting, although that's starting to be a big trend now with a lot of, you know, established actors like Robert Downey Jr. and Iron Man. You know, yeah. It started off with Tobey Maguire, I think, with Spider-Man, you know, these kind of people who aren't really known for doing action. And then it kind of brings a certain amount of realism, a certain amount of quality to the film. And I think Iron Man was probably one of the perfect examples of, you know, of doing that.
Oh yeah, that's definitely for sure. Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark. I mean, every time I pick up a comic now, I imagine I have to imagine Robert Downey Jr. as, you know, Tony Stark, because he is Tony Stark. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. is the Marvel's Heath Ledger Joker. If you follow what I mean.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, He's definitely kind of put himself as. I mean, I don't think there's ever been an Iron Man movie before, so I think that's one of the things that kind of helps. But he is that. I mean, his personality is that character, just kind of ramped up.
Yeah.
And so it's perfect. And yeah, I mean, I will never think of Iron Man as anybody else but Robert Downey Jr. So it's interesting to see that. And, you know, Hulk is another example of Ed Norton playing the Hulk. Another example of these kind of non-action people playing action comic people.
Yeah, The Hulk is actually a very underrated movie for the success it did over the original one with Eric Bana.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a very underrated movie.
Yeah, you know, obviously everyone rags on the 2003 version, and I'm definitely one of those. I actually rewatched it a couple months ago just because I had watched the new Hulk, and I'm like, I wonder how bad – I forgot how bad the original one was. So I watched it, and then I saw the Gamma Dogs and – everything was just so moody and depressing, and I was like, oh, God. And so the new one I thought it really just took it in a whole other direction. A lot more action, a lot more realism to it, I think. It was just really interesting. I love that whole, you know, countdown of how many days since he's had an event, and then the whole thing at the end, and how they're tying everything together in the whole Marvel universe. It just seems like they're finally really kind of
they're
finally doing it right, and that's really nice to see.
You have to also look at the fact that he starts the movie off with already being the Hulk, you know.
Right.
So I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily call it a remake as so much as it is just a reboot, because he starts off with him trying to find a cure to get rid of it. In the Eric Bana movie, he becomes the Hulk, and you know.
Yeah, some people almost kind of say it's like a sequel.
Yeah, I guess you can say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what other kind of big movies are coming out that are you excited for? My big one's Star Trek.
I remember what was the teaser trailer in front of? Was it in front of Cloverfield?
Yeah, I think they did, because I remember.
I think it was Cloverfield.
I went to the midnight viewing of Cloverfield when it first came out, and then I remember seeing that, and you know, it was just that one with they're building the Enterprise, and then I remember I was watching it, and you know, they didn't say it was Star Trek until the end, and as we're watching it, there's these people in the crowd who are like, what the hell is this? And people were like, what is this? They were so upset because they didn't know what it was until the end. But yeah, I think that was pretty interesting. And then, I mean, I'm always a big fan of J.J. Abrams and anything he does. And so to have him come on to Star Trek, one of my favorite franchises ever, it really is. I can't wait to see it. Looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
I actually remember watching the trailer, the teaser, and I was just like, wow, I'm genuinely excited for this, because like, I like how he puts so much mystery behind his trailers. Like, he did it perfectly for Cloverfield, and he does it for Fringe. He does it for basically anything. He's a man of mystery, and he just knows how to work it. He knows how to toy with people, to get people guessing. And when you put that into something like Star Trek, I mean, because it's either a make or break thing.
Right.
You have to get people's attention at first, and that definitely got people's attention, because A, it's a very noticeable franchise among anyone anywhere with a brain. Mm-hmm. And two, it's you know, it's a J.J. Abrams movie. And three, it's a J.J. Abrams movie. You know?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of the person I think has really taken the viral to the next level. I mean, he did Cloverfield, obviously. He produced that, and then he was kind of the mastermind behind all that viral. And obviously Lost, I think, was, you know, probably the only TV show to do viral. And, you know, now he's starting to do that a little bit with Star Trek. So that's just kind of his thing. He's become the mastermind of it.
When I watched the new trailer for it, I was like, wow, this is actually a really good movie. This actually seems to be really good. You know, I mean, they really don't have much of a viral, but it's there. But I mean, they have enough to get you excited and pumped, which is really all that matters.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got a little time, so they could be doing more. You know, you never know with viral how it's going to play out. So, you know, hopefully they have time to do more. And I mean, the Transformers viral has already been pretty cool with the whole Skynet research site. And did I say Terminator? Terminator. It's E.T., and that's all that matters to me. Transformers doesn't have any viral, does it?
I don't know. I think the first one did for a little bit.
Really? I don't remember.
Like, small. It wasn't anything Cloverfield or Dark Knight.
It obviously wasn't. Dark Knight had a great viral because it actually got you involved to the point where you actually won prizes, didn't they, for being part of the viral?
Yeah. I mean, people sent, like, the whysoserious.com or something. Mm-hmm. They sent everything in. And yeah, you got. And I think Peter from Slash Film actually got a gift from SkynetResearch.com for signing up.
Oh, right.
And it's like a little security thing. Yeah, their viral is very big.
Yeah, so you know, it's good to see. You know, when viral start being more proactive, I think, and you know, like, I think Slusho with Cloverfield, Slusho, you were able to actually get products from Slusho. So anytime you find really interesting ways to get people involved, other than just, you know, well, let's create a fake website, you know, that's pretty easy to do and pretty boring. But when you start when you start sending people stuff, and people can win prizes. People won tickets, I think, to Dark Knight, things like that. Like that's how you,
I think they did.
That's how you really get involved.
I've always wanted to try Slusho drink. I'm not gonna lie.
I think it's just like a slushy.
Oh well, as long as there's Slusho on it. Another movie coming out. Have you ever read the book Dante's Inferno?
No, but I've heard a lot. But they're trying to do a game and a movie of it.
Yeah, and it looks they actually released a teaser trailer for the game, and I'm not gonna lie, I am very impressed and I am very interested in this. I got really excited because I'm a fan of the book. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the book. And the teaser trailer got me completely stoked for it. I mean, I can almost feel there's gonna be a viral behind that movie too if they make it.
Right.
I really can.
Well, yeah, because I heard the story was that they were going to make a movie first, and then they decided to make a game based off the movie or something like that. And but either way, the concept is just really interesting. I haven't read the book. I might have to now, but the concept is just really cool. And the visuals from – I saw the trailer, too, for the game, and it looked really interesting. So I definitely might try that out.
Yeah. It kind of looks like World of Warcraft meets Doom.
Yeah.
But, hey, I don't care.
Nothing's original anymore, so.
Yeah. So, hey, Dan, I got 5 words for you.
Uh-oh.
No Country for Old Men.
Uh-oh, we're going to get started on this.
Yeah, we are.
As many people in the forums will know, I'm a very adamant hater, I guess you could say, of the film. Especially because of the fact it won an Academy Award, yet it was completely subpar by my standards. it just like infuriates me, because that movie and like There Will Be Blood, those two movies were just, they came out in the same year and they got so much praise and they were just so crappy. There Will Be Blood's actually worse, but because No Country won the Academy Award, I feel more hatred towards it. But I don't know. What did you think of those movies?
I've never seen and never will see There Will Be Blood because someone from the forum actually sent me a link to the whole I drink your milkshake thing. I turned off my computer and I went and I played the Xbox. I'm not going to get into that kind of a movie.
Yeah.
And I saw No Country for Old Men, and I'm not going to lie. I love that movie. I love the direction. I love its story. I don't love the long draws of absolutely nothing going on in it for a while. But I love how the hero isn't a hero. You know what I mean? Like how he just gets.
Yeah, and that's pretty common. I mean, you see that a lot in movies. But I felt like in this movie, there was no one you could root for. There was nobody to get behind. And the guy didn't even wasn't a main character. I mean, my understanding of it for people who haven't seen this, I apologize, but, you know, my understanding is that Tommy Lee Jones is supposed to be the main character. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense at all, because he doesn't do anything.
Really?
Yeah, because he doesn't do anything in the entire film. But apparently people think that, oh, no, he's really the main character. You know, why? He had no reason to take the money. It wasn't, you know, the plot just seemed so weak. And there was, like you said, there was a lot of boring, drawn-out times. There was some really cool, like, suspense between him and the guy with the crazy haircut. Other than that, you know, it just didn't flip.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily actually at all a fan of Tommy Lee Jones, but I'm not. But him in No Country for Old Men was actually one of my favorite roles by him, because I liked him in I forgot what movie it is, but then I watched the Batman one that he's in, yeah. And I was just like, I don't even know who Tommy Lee Jones is anymore.
Yeah, that was the when he played Two-Face.
Yeah, it's a horrible, horrible movie.
Yeah, that was.
I don't see why people like it.
It was Batman Forever, which it was okay, and I mean, Batman Robin was the real tragedy with Arnold Schwarzenegger and as Mr. Freeze, and yeah, that was probably that was the epitome of the crappiness of the films. Batman Forever had its moments, but you're right. I mean, after Batman Returns, it went downhill.
Let's kick some ice. no, bye, gotta go.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah, nope. I think There Will Be Blood with their whole milkshake moment, that was pretty similar. That's at the end of the film, too, so... I mean, but he's crazy throughout the entire film. Like, he basically is the Joker, but in, like, the 1800s. It was pretty silly.
Awesome.
Yeah, but not...
That's kind of cool.
But it doesn't make sense, and so it's really stupid.
Have you seen Taken yet?
Yeah, I saw it the second week it was out in the U.S. I was really surprised to find out it had been out overseas for quite a while. And it had made some pretty good bank over there.
Yeah.
And I watched it, and I fell in love with it. And I fell in love with Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson, I was like, damn, I wish my dad could do that for me.
Really.
I mean, yeah, I'm not an attractive 20-some female yet. But when he calls the other guy, you could put his quote up there with, like, May the Force be with you. You could put up there. Right. You could put that up there with any of the more famous. He does an amazing job in it. It's his role.
Yeah, it's great. It's a good, definitely great action film. And I mean, I think it's so efficient the entire movie. It's like from the get go, it just starts going, and it's pretty amazing to see it just him churning and just constantly going. And yeah, that whole line that he does near the beginning on the phone. It's, I mean, they had that as one of the trailer kind of things that they had I actually saw it on Hulu.com where they had it, and they had it was literally just that scene of him saying that line. And that alone is enough to draw you into the film and make you want to see it, because it's just so badass.
Oh, yeah.
It's so badass. It's amazing.
I wasn't really familiar with Liam Neeson, but isn't he the guy in Schindler's List?
Yeah, he's the main character. He is Schindler.
Oh, oops.
Yeah.
I guess I'll have to watch that now.
Yeah, oh, it's a different kind of film, though.
Oh, no shit. Isn't that about the Holocaust?
Yes.
What about that new wrestler? What's your opinions on the wrestler?
I actually haven't seen any movie that's been nominated for Academy Award as Best Picture. So I actually haven't seen it. My dad saw it, and he liked it a lot. But I actually haven't. I really need to.
You haven't seen The Wrestler?
No. Pretty much, if it's been...
Dude.
If it's been nominated for Academy Award for Best Picture, I pretty much don't care. I need to see it, but I just haven't had a chance. I don't watch a lot of movies during the winter time.
Why not?
I don't know. I just
I do.
I waste all my money during the summers.
Yeah, I don't see. I haven't seen Slumdog Millionaire yet. Mm-hmm. I really don't want to, because it's just not. I mean, I heard it's really good, really great, and all, but I'm not. It doesn't appeal to me.
Right.
I haven't seen The Reader. I haven't seen Milk. I have seen Frost Nixon, and I have seen The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. More like The Curious Case of an Overrated Movie. I hate that movie. I mean, it's the story is good, Brad Pitt's good in it, but it's just like people can saying Heath Ledger. I'm not even going to go there.
I want to see Frost and Nixon. It seems interesting, although I can imagine it being boring. But Benjamin Button just doesn't seem to interest me. I've heard a lot of things saying it's like Forrest Gump, kind of like the story is very similar to Forrest Gump.
Yeah, it is. Like I saw that there's actually a thing on either firstshowing.net or /film .com. Mm-hmm. It's basically saying how it's basically been Forrest Gump but backwards.
Yeah,
minus AIDS.
Exactly.
I don't see why Best Art Direction. That could have gone to The Dark Knight. Best Animated Film, WALL-E, of course.
Right.
Yeah, wow. Slumdog won everything, basically.
Yeah, Slumdog pretty much swept. There's a few little surprises to my understanding, but most of the stuff was pretty standardized. I think one of the things that surprised me the most was the fact that Bruce Springsteen's song From the Wrestler actually wasn't even nominated for Best Song.
Yeah. I really do think Mickey Rourke should run one Best Actor.
Yeah,
like, I mean, I'm not really familiar with his work at all, but I watched The Wrestler and I got really teary at that movie. It's a really good movie showing the pains of one man going through. Don't want to spoil it, so I don't know how to word this.
But yeah, it's definitely a character drama, that kind of thing. But to my understanding, it's definitely him kind of carrying that movie. And so I was surprised because he won all the other awards. So I was like, all the other, you know, Golden Globes and all the other stuff. I thought he was gonna win.
Yeah, I did too. I'm gonna regret saying this, but I think the only reason Heath Ledger won Best Supporting Actor is because they didn't want people to go apeshit when the real winner, in my personal opinion, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Really?
I mean, he's good. He's good as the Joker and everything, but I don't know how to word it, so I'm not going to.
Well, I mean, for me, I haven't seen a lot of the other films, but I thought his performance as Joker was pretty amazing. But mostly for me, what made me think that it was good for him to get that award was when I was watching the movie, I was basically just waiting for Joker scenes. You know, here's the Joker, and then, oh,
yeah,
it's awesome. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, oh, it's just Batman. And then, like, great, where's the Joker?
Yeah.
I think that says a lot about a film when you're just waiting for those scenes with that actor. I mean, that's a pretty big deal. It really transfers. Like, you forget that that's Heath Ledger. I think that's important, too. I mean, he is the Joker in that film. And I think there's a lot to be said for that.
He's also necessarily not so much the typical comic Joker as he is his own morbid impersonation. Like, Heath Ledger just took it. He looked at the Joker. He's like, all right, I want to take the Joker from, let's say, Arkham Asylum, that Joker in that comic, and we're just gonna throw him off a cliff of insanity. And that's basically what he did. I mean, he's really good, but the thing is, that's also the only thing saved The Dark Knight was the fact that Heath Ledger did such an amazing job as the Joker. Because, I mean, it would have won more awards and it would have been more nominated if it was a good movie. If it was, say, Batman versus Poison Ivy, it would have probably sucked. Probably would have sucked, you know.
I felt that Iron Man had a much more solid storyline. You know, yeah. Batman was great to watch. There was a lot of great visuals. You know, it's a little long, but, you know, I think it had a muddied theme. You know, the message it was trying to convey was muddied. There was too many messages, and so the story kept going on and on. I mean, I liked it though. It's fun to sit there and watch the whole thing, but I definitely felt like Iron Man had a much tighter story, and it was much more efficient, I guess you could say, in the way that it did everything. So I really actually thought Iron Man was overall a better film than Dark Knight.
I'm agreeing with you, not necessarily on the fact that it's Marvel over DC, but I'm a man that likes action, and The Dark Knight does have action because that with them flipping the diesel is an amazing scene.
Yeah, definitely.
And like you said, anything with the Joker is an amazing scene. Mm-hmm. But there's also, it's too long. There's too many moments in it that are just slow. And you don't need them. I mean, there's so many parts. I mean, you could have kept Two-Face. Aaron Eckhart also is the only other reason this movie was saved. Because him as Two-Face is almost as good as Heath Ledger as the Joker. You could put Two-Face as his own character in, say, the third movie.
Yeah.
And they could have ended the Dark Knight in several different places, and it would have been still an amazing picture, but they just dragged it on for a really long time.
Yeah, you see that a lot, and especially the last two Pirates movies were like that, where they kept just going on. I feel like that with Lord of the Rings sometimes. You see that a lot nowadays, where like they feel the need to keep going, and it's just, I don't see why. That's one of the reasons why I love Iron Man so much, because it was just so efficient. It was just, you know, here's, you know, an hour and a half, hour 40 minutes worth of film, and then, you know, then go home. You know, you don't need to sit here for 2.5 hours to try to tell a story that you can tell in, you know, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why I really liked Iron Man, just for its efficiency. Hancock, too. I mean, I know a lot of people, some people ragged on Hancock, but I actually liked that film, and 88 minutes long. It was so short. but it was just so efficient. It didn't need, it didn't need to be long. I thought it was a really interesting film, this a different take on this whole superhero genre.
The thing about Hancock is that it's kind of a kick, like Cloverfield was, you know, with the handheld cameras and monster movies. It's also its own take that you don't only have to adapt comic books. You can make your own superhero movies, you know what I mean? And you can make your superhero your own superhero movies in a sufficient time, with a sufficient story, with a sufficient cast, and a sufficient movie. And I liked Hancock. I just didn't necessarily so much like Will Smith as Hancock.
Interesting. Yeah, I thought it was... I think when you have a character who's so unsavory as Hancock, you need someone like Will Smith to kind of bring it home and have the audience be able to follow him. Because, you know, if your character is too unlikable, your audience won't care, and they won't want to follow the story at all. So you need someone like Will Smith, who people just naturally gravitate towards and people just naturally like, usually, in order to pull off such a bad character, like, you know, such a mean character. You have to have someone who's just naturally likable. Yeah. Otherwise, I think people would just be turned off by it. So I can see, I can definitely see the reasoning for that, for them having a Will Smith. But yeah, it was definitely a different take on it. I thought that was interesting. A summer that was just full of superhero movies.
You had Marvel versus DC. Like, you had Marvel versus DC, and then coming right down the middle is this Hancock, you know? Like, he's not, he doesn't belong to any Marvel or DC. He's
like
just
an independent
there.
Party.
Yeah. Republican versus Democrats, and in comes Ralph Nader. Hancock is a pretty good story. It's just I didn't like how serious it got. Like, how serious, how fast.
Yeah, it was a big turn.
Like, it was funny, and then just, and the Mike Epps at the end, that kind of...
Yeah, that was funny. I like that. Then let's talk about District 9 a little bit, and then bring it home.
What? I don't know anything about District 9.
Our site used to be called District9Forum.com.
It's just so? It's because I went to 1808news.com, and I still don't know anything about Cloverfield. Actually, I'm lying. I know anything and everything there is to know about Cloverfield.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to agree with some people on here. Like Clover 41, for instance, he said, it's been 7 months and there's nothing coming out. I mean, people are actually starting to turn against it because there's absolutely been no updates on this at all.
It's been really interesting to see how it, you know, it had such a strong viral for a while. You know, there's so many different sites, and the one, especially the main D9.com site, is really intricate to us, I think. And it seems like such an intricate viral that it just hasn't done anything in a while. It was like last August or something like that was the last time that you saw anything. When I first saw it, I was like, oh, this is pretty amazing. Like, this is the kind of viral I like to see, where it's just really, really intricate. But then it just stopped. So I don't know. I'm hoping that once, because supposedly the movie's supposed to come out next fall, I think, or something. And so when it gets closer, maybe they'll start it up again. But it just seems so weird, you're right, to kind of like have the front load it so heavily. Put all this stuff there and then just kind of stop. I'm not sure what their thinking is.
I don't know. I like the concept of it. I like the short, the YouTube short, Alive in Jodenberg or whatever. I really like that. I don't want all this faith to be put behind something. And then we have, not to piss anyone off, but then we have another Cloverfield. You know? I mean, the viral was really cool. The concept was cool, but the movie just wasn't that great. It was too short. There wasn't enough of the monster. There wasn't really enough character build up in the movie as so much as there was in the viral. And people that didn't, because I was with some friends of mine that I was the only one that knew anything about the viral beforehand, and they were like, "What is this? This is confusing." Blah blah. And you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel the opposite pretty much in all those respects. I felt the movie was pretty cool because it was more of an experience than a film, although I do feel like your main characters are, in fact, they finally realized that they loved each other at the end, and you know, I felt that was pretty good. And, you know, one of the reasons why they did the viral was so that they could do a shorter film and have it more intense, because they could do more character development in the viral, and I actually felt like the viral didn't really play a big part in the film at all. Like, the film stands alone by itself because there's a lot of people who don't. Most of the stuff didn't play a part, like the whole Tegritu and Slesho and all that stuff didn't really play a part in it. I was actually more upset by the fact that they didn't do anything with it. You know, there was one little thing where they saw a Slesho shirt, and then one little thing where you saw Tegritu on like oil tanker. You know, like really small stuff, but it wasn't. The viral was not integral to the film at all, and I was really surprised by that. And so I actually was a little offended. And then I was mad because the dates were off too. I thought it was supposed to, you know, be January 18th, but then they ended up making it in May. I'm like, that's really stupid. But otherwise, I really liked the film.
Oh, speaking of Tegrado, it's in Star Trek.
Well, yeah, they had it on the Super Bowl commercial. Yeah. One of the things they showed it on was the one of the I think it was on the bridge or something like that, or somewhere in the landscape, you see the Tsugurutu thing, which is pretty funny that, you know, JJ's kind of bringing it back for a new film. But I'm sure it's just, you know, little Easter egg things, nothing important.
Like the lost symbol. Yeah.
In Cloverfield, yeah.
It's just something small.
It's cool. You know, it's a little tip of the hat, you know, to it. So, all right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining us. If you're listening, if you're not, then I hate you. And thanks, Corey, for joining us.
Bye.
And that's it.
Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned for more podcasts from MovieViral.com, your number one source for MovieViral news.